top headlines.
Bruins released a statement today. Charlie McAvoy has a sprained left MCL. He's going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks. This happened in the first period of the game against the Canadiens over the weekend. Bruins home tonight to take on the Red Wings. So Charlie McAvoy out, Patrice Bergeron out, Tuukka Rask out, Anton Hudobin in net. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers bring us the latest with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show, 6:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Final from Chicago last night, 105-89. Celtics with the easy victory. Al Horford, good plan, huh?
I felt like, you know, we had a really good game plan coming in, and, sure. And coach, you know, really wanted us to play more up-tempo. The last time that we came here, they just had their way with us, so we're aware of the kind of team they can be. And I feel like our guys were very locked in from the beginning.
Al Horford with 13 points last night in the victory. Next up, a couple nights off, then the Celtics visit the Timberwolves on Thursday night. Dan Shaughnessy, on board with the return of the bullpen cart. You like it?
Absolutely.
You know who else likes it? Terry Francona. Says anything that brings personality to the game is a good thing. Arizona Diamondbacks saying that, yes, they're going to...
Personality?
Gonna...
It's a golf cart.
Well, you know, it's but it's fun. It's for the kids. They like it. Arizona Diamondbacks
like
use the bullpen cart. First team do so in more than 20 years. Headlines. Brought to you by Hooters in Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield, where the game is on, the food is hot, and the beer is cold. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Thursday morning at 9.
Good morning, Frederick.
Toucher and Rich talk basketball with the Celtics president of operations, Danny Ainge. Brought to you by GE, official data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're going to try and get Amorcino on to talk about his dunk. See if he's busy.
We have a witness now.
I don't know what all those nighttime TV guys do during the day.
He's probably working on his hops right now.
Nothing. Think he's hitting the gym trying to see if he can get back into
gym
back
guy.
Into form?
He's in great shape.
About dunking? All right.
He looks like Jim Rome size. Like Rome's on now.
Yeah. Rome's
just stocky, just... Jacked. Tight.
So tell us the quote from David Price.
It's right here.
You have it.
Yeah, I tend to like this laid-back spring training. I think everybody's benefited from it. Taking it easy, nice and slow, getting ready the right way. It's just...
You want two-a-days with pads. I know.
No, it's just... Okay. Just everybody's on... It's an indicator that he's clubhouse leader, and everything's on cruise control, and this is the way he likes it, and this is what he's gotten.
Yeah.
That he didn't like a certain form of, I don't say pressure. I mean, to what Bogaerts talked about, there was the people were tense, you know, stress. Now all of a sudden, it's such a different camp of core there.
Yeah, you're being too high.
I mean, the fact it's him and him saying it.
Yeah.
If this came from Chris Sale, I wouldn't be saying it.
Right. This is your basic hatred of David Price.
Yeah, that's what that is.
No. Yeah.
It's a hatred
there's
of David Price.
I think there's pressure on him.
It's hatred of David Price is what it is.
Just call it what it is.
See, that
no matter what it is that he says, you're going to get on him and you're going to be mad.
I don't like the fact that he's one of the leaders.
At least I'm fair. I don't like David Price. I'll say that first, up front.
There you go.
But at least I'm fair about it. Come on. All right, let's go to Joey Amorcino, who joins us here on Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Shaughnessy in studio. So here's what happened, Joe. Let me get you caught up on things.
Come on, man.
Let me get you caught up on things here. Shaughnessy says that you could dunk a basketball because we've been talking recently about Scott Zolak's ability to dunk a basketball. And in the conversation, Shaughnessy mentions that you could dunk. And then we just had a caller who said he went to Dave Cowan's basketball camp many years ago, early 90s, and you were there, and you could, in fact, dunk.
That is accurate, but that was a long time ago.
Oh, how tall are you?
I cheat my way up to 5'9".
That's pretty good.
Spud Webb!
That's pretty good.
Impressive.
Ammo, tell him the drill with the grabbing the rim drill.
Yeah, they used to do these jumping drills. You guys know my dad was a high school coach.
We've been talking about your dad, too.
NBA and everything.
Yeah.
So I went to a lot of basketball camps with Rick Pitino and all these coaches through the years,
and
I became like a little bit of a spectacle for them. So they had this jumping drill back then where you start at the foul line, you run up and you touch the rim with two hands, you run back to the free throw line, run up, grab the rim with two hands. So you do it 10 times.
Exhausting.
And they would call out a guy who'd be like 6'6", and they'd tell him to do it. And he'd be like, he'd be hurting towards the end of it, or a guy, and then about 6'4". Then they call me out, and at the time I could just jump really well.
You're like a circus act.
So I could jump up and grab the rim with two hands easily like that. But I played high school ball at Don Bosco High School with a guy by the name of Della Gaskins, who's since passed away. Same year as me. He's actually King Gaskin's nephew, a member of the Boston Five. Dan,
King.
Of course, knows what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And Della was 5'8". He was my teammate at Bosco. He won the New York Invitational Dunk Contest when he was a junior. I mean, this kid, you want to talk about someone who could jump. This guy could jump.
You guys are lucky. You guys are lucky from the Celtics. So, didn't D'Ossi go to Don Bosco?
Yes, he's a Bosco guy, too. You should see it when Amorcito and D'Ossi are in the same room. That's all I talk about.
Secret handshake.
That's all I talk about. It's the Bosco days.
Joe, did you ever throw down in a game?
No, I've thrown down in pickup ball, but never in an actual game. I had one attempt against Malden Catholic.
Back-rimmed it?
Someone threw an alley-oop to me. I went up and I tried to get it with one hand, and I back-rimmed it and kind of hung on the rim a little. And that made everyone happy enough, I guess.
I think that still counts. If you could just grab that rim and snap it back. It's an attempt.
There you go.
Yep.
How long has Bosco been closed now?
Long time.
Yeah, they closed around 2000, somewhere in there. They went co-ed at the end trying to save the school. It was a school that really thrived during the busing years in Boston. It was a tech school, electrical, woodworking, electronics, and so on. And apparently the need for that school went away. It's kind of a shame. It was a good school.
They won the state when they had Kevin Mackey, Joe Bolio, Felton Sealy, and Dwan Chandler.
Oh, they had squads all the way through. And then in John Grady's years as well, they had some teams that were, four guys, five guys going D1, Chenault Terry, Steve Malloy, Sean Hood. Those guys were all on one team. They all went on to play. Some real good players.
And Kevin Mackey went on to beat Bobby Knight in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
And he's still working for Larry Bird, I think.
Yeah. Legend.
Yeah, the only other thing, I shared the story that your dad at Quincy High School used to bring in Celtics players to gym class.
Yeah. That's
like
pretty cool.
My dad, when he was in high school, would be like, Mr. Emersino, he'd bring in the Celtics for the gym class on a Wednesday. And there they'd be.
Yep. Yeah, he still runs Celtics basketball camps. He runs 8 weeks of Celtics basketball camp in 6 weeks. He's 78 years old. He keeps it going, man.
Wow.
He's pretty sharp. And when it comes to basketball, he's a real encyclopedia.
All right, Joe. Well,
Joe, just
one last thing. Yeah. One last thing.
Oh, we got a couple of final questions.
Yeah, a couple mine real quickly. This kind of got started because Scott Zolak thinks he could still dunk. I think he's going to come close. If you were to attempt, how close would you come?
No way. Wait, how tall is Zoe? Zoe, what are you?
6'5".
6'5", and I know you're lean now because you're on that weight loss
program. Right, Wake 180 weight loss. Four locations
saying,
now, Joe.
I'm saying Zoe dunks that basketball. I'm saying he dunks it.
All right.
For sure.
Like this guy.
I'm saying he dunks it. For me, I don't even know if I can touch the rim now. I've had knee surgery. That's the wear and tear of the playground right there.
Sure is.
Yeah. I'll tell you how smart Joe Amorcino's dad is about basketball. When the Celtics made that ridiculous trade of Kendrick Perkins, it was Joe's dad who told Joe and told me that that guy was a stiff, Jeff Green. He knew it right out of the jump.
Because he's stiff.
Jeff Green was a stiff.
Yeah, he was upset about that one and proved to be correct.
All right, Joe, thanks for the time.
All right, guys.
See you, Joe. Appreciate it. Joe Amorcino.
Throwing down the back.
Channel 7, WHGH.
Yep. Everybody watch Channel 7. Good guy. Nice guy.
We always have
5'9".
Always keep an eye on 5'9". There.
Oh, there always news is always.
I know, they always have the news on. It's great.
Take a quarter off the rim and leave change up
there.
They
get the big you get the big titles to their big segments.
Yeah, a lot of flash, a lot of Kyron.
Yeah, a lot of alliteration.
Superstorms. Superstorm.
They're big on the alliteration.
Yeah. Yep.
Breaking news.
Yeah. Go out and cover Zoe's slam dunk attempt. Dunking dope.
Dunking dimwit.
617-779-0985. I promise you we'll hear from Chris Sale, and we'll get to your calls. We get open lines. You want to grab one, do it now.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Go love Yacht Rock again. I like it.
I would hate for this to become Chris Sale's new theme.
Why?
I don't know.
New approach.
It's, new approach.
Yeah, laid back, ease
year
into
we played,
it.
Last AWOL Nation, Sale.
Hardy, ease into spring training. Just take it easy.
I like it.
It's nice and relaxing.
Well, he's feeling more relaxed in year number two.
Kind of with Beatle on this one, though. I am with Beatle on this
one. Let's hear Chris Sale. He has spoken about this in a number of spots. There have been some stories written on him in terms of the approach that Chris Sale is taking. He spoke to the assembled members of the media, but also did speak on NBC Sports Boston about sort of his approach and the difference this year as opposed to a year ago.
We've kind of come up with an idea, you know, even at the end of last year, through the offseason and coming into spring training, is kind of a gradual buildup. You know, like I said, I came in last year, in my first start of spring training, I could have started the season that day. Mm-hmm. You know, and that obviously helped me, you know, through the season, but we're kind of looking more big picture, grander prize in terms of, you know, maybe dialing it down a little bit, not only in spring, but maybe early in the season to kind of get through, you know, the dog days. Because let's be honest, I mean, all the games count for one. Every game is as important as the next one. But when you get to August and September, it's much better to kind of thrive through those than just try to survive.
God, it sounds so much better coming from him. I mean, sorry, but
admitting
that's
your
that's
bias.
Fact. That's explained very well.
Okay. So he's got his detractors like Adam Jones. We're playing the promo here today. I've already heard it once. Jones, I'm guessing last night, talking about these comments.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah. He's gone by lunchtime. Like he's got a light schedule, all this crap. I would just say, listen, something has to change.
He's you telling cannot, you, I didn't feel right at the end of the year.
You cannot go into the playoffs with Chris Sale pitching the way he pitched last year. So do you want to get on and say, oh, he's soft, he doesn't have it in him to pitch a full season plus playoffs? That's fine. If that's your criticism, I can't say there's anything wrong with it because he hasn't proven that he can do it. But I got news for you.
Here's your best chance.
I'd rather him be there in September than in April.
Thank you.
September and October are far more important than April and May.
Can we shut up about the strikeouts this year? Ooh, he struck out 10 again. Ooh, that's 11 games with 10 strikeouts. Ooh, he's almost 300. Take that, Orioles. I mean, it was nonsense.
Take that, Orioles.
That thing just frosted my butt last year.
Yeah, clearly. Game.
It was so ridiculous. He sent him back out for the eighth inning. Guy was clearly, he was on fumes in September because of all that nonsense. Plus, the inflation of strikeouts, they just don't mean what they used to. It's not everybody strikes out. Every team strikes out 10 times a game. So you're going to have a lot of 10 strikeout games if you're a good pitcher, and he's going
to
have them.
I will say this. Last year when they sent him back out to get, what was that, 300?
In Baltimore, yep.
Yeah, Baltimore, right?
The family, yeah.
And at the time I said, oh, this is making a big deal out of something that isn't a big deal. You know what? I was wrong about that.
Thank you.
That was stupid. I was wrong. I did not.
It's John Farrell being dumb.
At the time, I thought, this is an overreaction. You know, let's not get the guy in trouble for something. Because the criticism was, well, if this guy doesn't pitch well in the playoffs, you have to come back to this and say this was not smart. And I was saying at the time, well, let's see if he pitches well in the playoffs. And if you have a case. The rest of you had a case. I was wrong.
Wow, that's a rare.
I'd like to admit that.
Rare thing.
I was wrong about that, Jim Louth. I think Jim and I argued about that at the time. Is that right, Jim? Is my recollection correct?
We might have, yeah.
Yeah,
we did. And you and I did.
I will say, I was wrong.
I mean,
listen, when the...
You were on Bertrand Island.
More importantly than you being wrong, Dan was right.
I don't think I was on an island on that. I think it was split, but I can tell you the side that I was on did not end up being the right side. History was not kind to us.
Beetle, you had the backing of almost every caller who said, why are you even talking about this? It's not. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time.
We were wrong.
Well, and for all the John Farrell bashing, which people love to do around here, that was a legitimate bash. I mean, he was a pitching coach. Mm-hmm. He should have known better. He got caught up in the personal goals. It didn't matter. The guy was going to pitch another game at Fenway anyway, if it did matter to anybody, which it didn't. And
I'd love to bash John Farrell, too.
I know.
Which
it was
odd,
very odd.
I was
it was very odd all around. Yeah.
Not getting on him. That was an easy opportunity for me to crush him, and I didn't.
That was a legitimate crush.
So I was wrong about that, and if that means that Chris Sale is going to be a little slower out of the gate this year,
fine.
I'm okay with it.
Yep.
That's fine by me.
Absolutely. And you know
what? And he's talked in recent days about the bright lights. He showed up last year and was sort of amped up and ready to go and wanted to come out and prove himself, which I think is a good quality to have. I mean, you want guys to have that quality.
Wanted to be here, wanted to pitch, wanted to start well.
You sort of want that. You wanted to attack it and get after it and prove himself. And I respect anybody who has that attitude, but it probably caught up with them.
And by the by, talk about slow out of the gate. It would be almost impossible for them to be slow out of the gate this year. Beetle, their first games, 9 games against the Tampa Bay Rays and the Miami Marlins. That's it. They should be 9-0 when they play the Yankees.
Nice, stop it, Dan.
Here we go.
Dan, stop doing that.
No, they should be 9-0.
He's
two teams that have quit.
Listen to him. He's talking about it like it's a...
two teams that have quit. They should. Those teams should be
like
they're
the start
tanking.
Of the Patriots season. Yeah. They should be 5-0 going to the bye.
We're tanking teams.
So we're gonna look at a baseball schedule.
Tank,
WL.
Tank. Yep, 9-0 when they play the Yanks on April 10th.
So he's doing that now so that when they come out of the game, start slow. He could be critical.
Oh, we'll crush them if they don't get out of the game fast. How can you lose to these guys? Those are legitimate cans. No question.
See, I don't know. It sounds better coming from him.
Okay. Let's just hear hatred.
You're
admitting it. Beetle admit he was wrong. You admit you hate Price. It's okay.
There's a just a whiny delivery where Sal's assertive and the grind, the dog days, and he's right. It's a long schedule.
Listen, I just think so much that this team has going for it, and Dan and
he's
I, as we said, we're both bullish on the team.
He's your horse,
right? They can sort of derail that if Price and Sale aren't right come October.
Sure.
I mean, that's it. Everything you put in, you can have another 93, 95 win. However many wins they have, you can completely undo that
and have
it be worthless if those two guys aren't right. So if you sacrifice something in April and May, so be it.
Yeah, they can't afford another playoff dog. I mean, you know, we're assuming they're going to get to the playoffs, and they should with the payroll and the talent that they have. And I mean, there's still two teams better, you know, maybe three. I mean, Cleveland, Houston, and New York are all as good or better. Houston is better. And so they come in with that. So you're the fourth best team coming in, maybe the third best, and you should be in that mix. But if they can't win in October again, it's another Adams Division flag going up there. I mean, who cares?
All right, let's go to a couple of calls here. Todd, who's in Beverly, he has a question for Dan. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to expand on the clip that you played earlier from Gino Auriemma, where he said that there were better writers than Dan Shaw.
Well, that's what known fact. That's indisputable.
Dan, a friend of mine, Chris, who just passed away last week, he is a Boston kid, and he moved to L.A., very successful in the financial industry, but he remained a passionate Boston sports fan, and as part of that passion, he used to write to you, I think on almost a weekly basis, critiquing your columns, I think, and hopefully in a gentle and helpful way, but I just wondered if... if you remember that, if you've, I guess the correspondence, you did hear back from you from time to time.
Yeah, usually if people put their phone numbers on letters, you don't get letters anymore. It's funny how it's gone. It used to be all letters, then it was all emails, and now it's Twitter feeds or whatever like that. So as the generations pass, letters is really the purview of old people now.
Yep.
No one else writes letters. When you see a letter, you know this person is 70, 80 years old. And if they put the number on there, I'll try and give them a call. But it's hard to find a lot of them. They're hard to find.
You remember when Dick Enberg died?
Yes.
Bob Soucy wrote him like early back when he was like back in school. And Dick Enberg wrote him back.
Sure.
And actually, you had to type the address out. It was typed on paper, but it was NBC letterhead.
Yeah.
And he signed it and gave him advice. And it's just like, you know, when someone takes time to write a letter.
That's what guys would do.
Takes a little
he
more.
Was all class too, Dick Enberg. Yeah. Yep.
Well, go ahead.
Well, best to Chris. Anyway, we thank you for what he did, and I'm sure he's a dear friend of yours, and we appreciate all Globe readers. We appreciate.
Let's go to Cam, who's in Taunton, on Price and Sale. Cam.
Well, if you can get Sale fresh at the end of the year, you should have a great 1-2 combo, because remember, Price is the opposite of Sale. Price gets better as the year goes on. I mean, not in October, obviously, except for last year on the bullpen, but I believe his best statistical month is September. So if you can get them both right at the end of the year, you should have a heck of a 1-2 duo at the top of your rotation.
Absolutely. I think it's as good a 1-2 as anybody's got. People forget how good Price was, and he won 17 2 years ago when he had what people thought was a bad year.
Yeah, 17 win year was better than people gave him credit for.
Yeah, 17 wins led the major in innings. Everybody crushed him.
And he's talking to you again.
Pierce, yeah. Actually, Hardy's back in the studio. So, Hardy, I told David Price that he looks like, with this beard, that he looks like Richie Havens. And he did not know who that is. But if you match him up, he does. I told him.
Well, you're
up.
Thinking of Richie Valens, and he didn't have a beard.
Richie
so
Havens.
I don't.
Did he sing La Bamba?
Well, Richie Valens.
And Hey Donna.
Yeah, but Richie Havens.
He died with Buddy
Woodstock,
Holly in that plane crash.
Woodstock thing. It's kind of the long beard.
No, he does have a Richie Havens look to him.
He does.
I don't know who Richie Havens is, though. I'm looking
the
right now.
The man who let off Woodstock, Freedom. Oh, my God. Bite your tongue. I'm shocked, Hardy. And Beatle, do you know who Richie Havens is?
I do know who he was. I'm not totally familiar with his catalog.
You have rare knowledge for a young
man. Well, name a song.
Would you trim up the beard if you were
Freedom, Peace Train.
Cat Stevens?
I thought those were Cat Stevens.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's stuff that he popularized. You know, Cat Stevens wrote Peace Train, which turned out to be a fraud since he was, you know, trying to kill us all anyway. Peace Train my ass.
Not till later.
I used to work at a radio station that played Richie Havens on a regular basis.
Oh, Richie Havens, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the first act at Woodstock. Started the concert.
Did it rain a lot there?
Yeah, that was happening while he was out there. They were all risking electrocution.
Everyone made it, though.
Golden days.
Sure did. Yep. All right, let's get headlines with Hardy. Get another segment in on everything that we've been talking about with Dan Shaughnessy.
Are we doing Dan States?
We'll do Dan States.
That thing's a real thing still.
Yeah, sure is.
Good.
All right.
Sports Hub headlines.
4 weeks. That's the timeline for Charlie McAvoy, according to the Bruins statement released today. He's got a sprain of his left MCL. He'll be reevaluated in a month. Bruins are home tonight to take on the Red Wings, so no Charlie McAvoy, no Patrice Bergeron, and no Tuukka Rask. Judd Zerot, Bob Beers have the call right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock. And no Kyrie Irving for the Celtics last night. He had a sore knee, but it didn't matter. They beat the Bulls in Chicago 105-89. They'll have a couple nights off, and then they visit the Timberwolves on Thursday night. Got a referee announcement here from the NFL. Al Riveron and Ed Hockley. You ready? Actually, it's Al Riveron who's announcing that. Ed Hockley and Jeff Triplett are retiring.
What?
All done. You know who's getting a promotion, though? Sean Hockley, son of guns.
Wait.
Being promoted
Hockley
to referee positions.
Done? Never
Hockley
again?
And Jeff Triplett both retiring.
And it's time for Triplett.
Oh, yeah. Triplett needs to go.
Yeah.
Sean Hockley, who is Ed's son, is being promoted, and Alex Kemp is also being promoted to a referee position.
So Hockley just unceremoniously gives it up.
Yeah. That's it.
How disappointing.
All done. Headlines brought to you by Nairobi at Cardi's Furniture. Enjoy Cardi's rattan and outdoor furniture collections with next day delivery from Cardi's Furniture. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This feels like a weird day for Dan Shaughnessy. Liam in the car, you got another Shaughnessy thought on Dan Shaughnessy?
What's up, Zo?
Yeah. Hey, Liam!
We just want to chime in.
Get ready for St. Patty's Day?
Oh, I'm ready, man.
Nice.
I'm ready. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dan, back in the 80s, you wrote a little player profile on my dad. He played basketball at Babson, and then you wrote about how he looked like Larry Bird. I don't know if you remember or not, but I just want to thank you for fueling jokes for decades, man. Like, I call him Larry Bird every day just because you did that in the 80s.
What's your dad's full name?
Jerry McCarthy.
Jerry McCarthy played at Babson?
Yep.
Jeez. That was a long time ago. I was covering the Celtics back then, so I was...
Yeah, a little writer
Larry
CT?
Bird was in town then. I
Jerry
mean, that was
McCarthy.
The hype.
I mean, could you get a more Boston name than that?
No. Playing at Babson.
We just read the article on Southie.
Let me guess. His friends call him Jer.
Could he dunk? I'm thinking
no.
I'm thinking no. He was no Joe Ammo.
Jerry Mac.
Jerry Mac.
J-Mac.
J-Mac.
Yeah, number 33 for Babson.
You see what happens, though? This is what happens when Dan Shaughnessy writes a column that people really dig.
That he gives effort
like
to.
Today.
He's not lazy.
Yeah. Without his lazy sports cliches. Yeah. As his commenters tell him.
He came in
Hold on,
little,
I got to check the comments. You keep talking.
He came in with a little fire and vinegar there, or whatever you call it.
No, I was fired up.
Pee and vinegar there. I mean, you came in on fire today, Dan.
Had Brad Stevens out of the gate.
Bang, bang.
He had seen my column.
Hey, real quick, I want to ask you, have you seen Shape of Water on the Oscar?
I have not seen The Shape of Boredom.
Okay,
no.
Yep.
No, thanks.
Interesting. No. Make anything of Kobe Bryant win an Oscar the other day?
Yeah, I thought it was weird on the Me Too movement that the guy who was charged with rape would be honored, and then like there was no clue.
Ooh,
you know,
unbelievable, right?
They all love sports figures. Oh, Kobe, we love you. We're Laker fans.
Ratings
no
one massively
had any idea.
Yep.
Like Mark Hamill yelling, Kobe! I was like, oh, you
the
idiot.
The whole room had no idea.
You are.
This thing makes you not want to watch Star Wars.
Dummy.
The whole room. No one had a clue. Oh, we love the Lakers. Yeah. Just Hollywood people.
Dan, I was talking yesterday about this, and it wasn't just about the Oscars, but has anyone gotten away in terms of public opinion with what they've been alleged to have done more than Kobe Bryant?
He'd be way up there.
I mean, it's like everyone forgot.
Reinvented, yeah.
Everyone forgot that this happened with him.
Yeah, it never happened.
Yeah. We talked about this yesterday. Like, supposedly it's such a great thing to win an Oscar. In a weird way, this is making everything resurface for him.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, time is...
That had gone away.
Time has gone away. It's been a long time. Was it 2003?
I mean, he retired.
2003.
No one, not a word.
You don't mention that about him.
No.
Never gets brought up. Like, Ben Roethlisberger, I feel when you're talking about him. That still gets a mention every now and again.
Steeler haters, he's still playing.
I mean, we still give it a mention every now and again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what happened there in Milledgeville? Yeah,
sure.
Ben, what happened in Colorado there, Kobe?
Yeah, it doesn't go away for him.
Not to mention the fact that he went and bought his wife the 8-carat diamond ring afterward.
Wasn't it like a different color?
Sorry.
What was it? Wasn't it like a canary yellow
statement,
one?
The statement he put out when that had wrapped up because she didn't want to go forth.
I guarantee you, what theater was that? What's the
Dolby.
Dolby Theater. I guarantee you 80% of the people at the Dolby Theater that night had never heard of that case, that charge, nothing. Never heard of it. It probably started moving on Twitter, and they were like, whoa, wait a minute. What'd we just do here? It was weird. It just wasn't consistent with the way the evening was rolling along.
He has as many Oscars as Leonardo DiCaprio does.
That's sad.
He's king of the world. Wow.
Here's another one. This piece shows that he still has his fastball, talking about Dan Chauncey. I just wish he would use it a little more often.
I'm like Chris Sale. I got to save it.
Dan's easing into this one. Yeah.
You know what? There's not, from what I can tell, there's not that many comments on it because people are just stunned.
Well, no, because here's why, Beetle. That's one of the reasons that you can't have a steady diet of those worthy kind of substantive columns because people, it's not a hot take. People don't react. You know, it's not rewarded. It doesn't get as many eyeballs on it. It discourages that. And I plead guilty to that.
It's a tad shocking to get through this article without asking why.
where's the hit piece coming from? When are we going to get to it?
617-779-0985. This one's very simple. Terrific article, Dan. Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
Thank you. This is a day of celebrating Dan.
Speaking
Shaughnessy.
Of which, while you're all saying good things about the Boston Globe Sports today, Stan Grossfeld, great photo spread today on the spring training. Hardy, you got the paper there?
Yeah,
for the simulcast here. Let's hold it up. Stan showing off his good spring training work. I'm going to show you these.
He did that Kimberling thing.
Every time you bring up Grossfeld, you're going to go to that.
Yeah. I bet you he's got... have you ever looked...
Ground balls.
That picture, when I wrote the column on you, the front page of sports, which is framed and in your den or something,
sir.
I hope still... there's got to be a photo with that, right?
Yeah, I'm running down a tunnel with the holding the ball up.
Take a look at the photo credit on that and see who it is.
Fred Grossfeld, huh?
It could be.
Maybe.
I mean, because it could be Bill Brett, could be Jimmy Davis, could be Frank.
Oh,
O'Brien.
You know what? I think it's Jimmy Davis.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff.
Jimmy used to be on. I see him.
How about this one? Oh, sorry, you got something?
No.
I was going to say this quote.
Thanks,
because Stan puts quotes underneath, you know, the stories, kind of tell the
story. Look at that picture of the changeup for Chris.
That's
Sale.
What I'm looking at.
Look at his fingers. You don't see that very often.
A lot of finger stuff here on this page. Chris Sale and his grip. That's the changeup. That's the way I throw it. It's worked until now.
That photo is tremendous. You don't see the fingers like that on a ball very often.
Here's pitching coach Dana Lavangi, and he has a quote here about the fingers of Pedro Martinez, saying they're huge, long, and flexible.
There you go.
But he has seen bigger. Gronkowski, said Lavangi. I got to shake his hands once, and they are absolutely enormous.
Not another Pats fan, coach.
He's from Whitman, right? Is that his deal?
We got Brian Butterfield.
Where is he from?
Daniel Levanchy is in the Whitman Hanson Hall of Fame alongside Nick Cofardo.
Of course, he roots for the Patriots in the offseason.
Whitman Hanson Hall of Fame. Greatest
Patriots t-shirt.
Greatest guy ever.
So this is a stupid football question. I'm going to ask it anyway.
There's no such thing.
As a quarterback, is the grip the same on every throw, everything?
Oh, God, yeah.
Hands on the stitches, the same thing?
Same way every time.
Ideally, every time.
You know what's funny, too, is the stitches would feel differently from one end to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're dropping back, you would look at most guys, and the ball's changing like from end to end until you like the feel of it, and it just becomes subconscious to you. And just you do it without even knowing it. Like, I used to do it all the time. Like, there's one end of the ball you like feeling better.
So as soon as you grab
the ball, if I'm dropping back and I don't like the feel of the
ball's
top,
moving,
I'll flip it over to get the other end.
But shouldn't the center be paying attention to that and have figured out like which end you want? So you don't have to be monkeying around with the football.
He's just making sure you get the strings, where you can get the strings to where you feel it right away.
But it's not a real, it's not a difficult maneuver to flip that.
No.
To have it on the end you
guys with big hands can flip it, like real quick. You know?
See, that's a little.
But I tell you what, a three-step drop, you don't have that option. You grab it, you got to go 1, 2, 3.
And whatever you got, that's it.
But on the 5-7, you know, you're back there.
You're flipping it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Don't pat the ball.
That's why it's all about the feel. And I told you this, don't get deflate-gate. More about the strings than it is about the squeeziness of the ball.
I believe that. That's good. Anyway, check out the Globe today. That grip on the changeup. Did you know that was a changeup, Beetle? If you looked at that, would you have known that was a changeup? So, can you tell? Would you have known what pitch
look
that
is?
That is funky looking.
Yeah. The one of Sale with the way his fingers are. Because his index finger is on the ball. That's unusual.
My kid said, you know what he did yesterday? Hey, Dad, grab the gloves. Scott's on. Play some catch.
Wow. Wanted to have a catch?
Catch. Yeah. Got the mitt out with the kid and firing it. Yep. Almost hit my truck, but we're good.
We'll be throwing snowballs tomorrow. There you go. Sorry.
That sucks.
Way to bring the conversation down to that, Dan.
Yeah.
That's great.
Sorry.
No, it's not
Yeah, you know who had big hands like Sal? Bledsoe had those long, lanky, like monster-like fingers.
When he had the metal piece coming out of his index finger, that was the greatest. Yeah.
He was tough.
He was a tough bastard. He was.
Dan's dates coming up next.
I wouldn't have played.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Dan States here on March the 6th, 2018. Most beloved segment of this program. That's all I want to say.
Thank you.
Just the best.
Thank you.
That's it.
And Hardy's here, so if you miss anything, it's on him.
How old do you guys think Alan Greenspan is?
Ooh, 91.
92.
All right!
Married to Andrea Kramer, right? No, Andrea Kirby. No, Andrea...
Andrea Kramer? Yeah, not Andrea Kramer.
Andrea Kramer from ESPN?
Yeah, she lives around here. Huh. But he is married to Andrea Mitchell of television fame. 92. Also born today. I love this one. Mary Wilson. Who's Mary Wilson?
Mary Wilson.
Hardy?
No. Brian Wilson's wife?
Yeah,
sure.
Original Supremes.
Sorry.
Flo and Mary. Diana Ross was there, and then she walked away from them.
Thought I had it.
Yeah, they got screwed. I mean, you know, once Diana Ross left, they were out.
Flo.
You know who David Gilmour is?
Nope. Yeah, from Pink Floyd.
72 today. I knew you'd know that.
72.
Meathead from Archie Bunker is 71.
Hey, Meathead!
Rob Reiner, 71 today. Shaquille O'Neal, how old do you think Shaq is today?
Ooh. He's the guy in the General Insurance commercials.
I'm going to go 47.
Oh, Beale, you're hot today. He's 46.
Damn.
You know.
Well, 1 year off every time.
Folks who passed away today, Kirby Puckett, 2006. I was in Fort Myers, and of course they trained right next to the Red Sox. Went over there and talked to some of the fellas. It's a very sad day.
He was really not well at the end, right?
No, a lot of stuff happened to him. Yeah, it was tough. He was a great, great player.
And there were some... I want to say there were some stories published about him towards the end that were very
Me Too stuff
unfavorable.
Going on. Yeah, yep.
Oh, I didn't know it was that. I just remember reading a story that he wasn't a very good parent. He was not a not someone you'd want as your friend.
Nope, wonderful player. Loved him. Other stuff that happened, I'm telling you, this day, so.
Big one.
Michelangelo was born on this day in 1475. He was pretty good. On this day in 1521, Magellan. Of the fund fame, he discovered Guam.
Who could find Guam on a map?
I could, because my freshman year roommate at Michigan State was from Guam. Hanarato Wenceslao. Called him Pete.
How many explorers can you name? Three.
You got Columbus, you got Vasco da Gama,
that's it.
You got Cabot, you got
Cabot.
Magellan.
No one knows who Cabot is.
Ponce de Leon.
Yeah, Ponce de Leon.
I'll give you four. I'm not giving you. Who's Cabot? No.
Yeah.
No. It's Magellan, Columbus, and Vasco da Gama.
Lewis and Clark, do they count?
That's the metal platform.
Yeah, they count. Lewis and Clark count.
The metal platform.
I don't.
I gave you the metal platform.
Guys are going boats.
You know, they got to be those guys. Also on this date in...
This guy.
I know.
This one stunned me. In 1831, Edgar Allan Poe, on this date, was bounced from West Point. I mean, first of all, who knew
Edgar
that
Allan Poe, weirdo. Yeah, who knew,
who
knew that goths went to West Point?
I mean, you know, Baltimore guy.
He was a troubled individual.
What is his place in the NFL, Zoe? Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, the Raven.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Thought it was his love of cocaine. That was...
And which Beatles song is he in?
Edgar Allan Poe.
He's in I Am the Walrus. Man, you could have seen him kicking Edgar Allan Poe. It's in there. Yeah, I'm giving you guys some gold today. On this date, who died? Oliver Wendell Holmes died on this date in 1935. Beatle, Oliver Wendell Holmes, this is amazing American trivia, was in the presence of Abraham Lincoln and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It shows you how short American history is. He was in the Civil War.
FDR.
And Lincoln addressed the troops. Oliver Wendell Holmes was there to hear it.
Okay.
And then FDR came to his deathbed in 1935 when he was dying, and he was president at the time.
Wow.
So the same man was in the presence of Presidents Abraham Lincoln and Franklin Roosevelt. That is some Dan's date gold right
and
there.
And he's from Boston.
Yes, Harvard guy. On this date in 1944, heavy bombers staged the first full-scale American raid on Berlin during World War II. That's our Führer moment for the day. On this date in 1857, the U.S. Supreme Court, the Dred Scott decision, ruled that a slave was not an American citizen, therefore could not sue for his freedom in federal court. That was a bad day in 1857. In 1836, remember the Alamo? Well, that all went down on this date, March 6th. You got a lot of serious stuff going down this date. Who died at the Alamo? Come on.
Custer!
No.
I would have said Custer.
Little Big Horn.
Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie.
That's a big one.
Of the Bowie knife fame.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The Alamo.
The Alamo who?
You said you'd never forget!
that was bad.
What?
On this date in 1964, heavyweight champ young Cassius Clay converted to Islam and was renamed by Elijah Muhammad. He was renamed Muhammad Ali.
Mama named him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
Do you not have an original Cassius Clay signed picture?
Wow.
Yeah. Not Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's gold. On this date in 1970, the Beatles released Let It Be.
I'd leave it there, too.
On this date in 1808, Harvard University formed the first college orchestra. 1808. Harvard has those kinds of things.
Stupid
things.
Been
around since 1600.
I mean, you know, you were the first.
It's an amazing thing.
Form an orchestra.
On this date in 1978, Larry Flint was shot and then later played by Woody Harrelson in a movie. Is he dead or alive, Larry Flint?
He's alive.
I believe he's alive.
He lives?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Fred was just talking about him.
So that's 40 years ago he was shot on this date.
Wow.
And,
75 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to hang it up right there. I had too many. This is a rich day. Strong to quite strong. If anybody has anything else to add, they can.
Well, you missed a couple of days.
There's just too much, you know.
You want to do the movie release first there, Jim? Yeah, we might as well.
Bayer filed the patent for for aspirin.
Oh, my God. March 6th. 1899. Who knew?
Yeah.
Wow. 20 years today.
The you want to see if they can guess the movie?
Yes.
20 years ago today.
The film was released in theaters.
98. Titanic.
No.
Breakfast Club was 33 years ago, just the other
day. It is
day.
A cult favorite.
Fight Club.
Shawshank.
20 years ago today, so...
Let's give them 2 seconds of audio and see if they can name it.
This is a f***ing show dog with f***ing papers. You can't board it. It gets upset.
Stop.
Lebowski.
Con Air.
Big Lebowski.
What's up? Walter. F***ing dog has f***ing papers. Over the line!
Huh?
I'm sorry, Smokey. You were over the line. That's a foul.
Holy Mark at 8, dude.
Excuse me. Mark at 0. Next frame.
Bullshit, Walter. Mark at 8, dude.
Smokey, this is not nom. This is bowling. There are rules.
Hey, Walter, come on. It's just, hey, man, it's Smokey. So his toe slipped over a little, you know? It's just a game, man.
This is a league game. This determines who enters the next round robin. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't over. Give me the marker, dude. I'm marking an 8.
Smokey, my friend, you're entering a world of pain.
Walter, man.
You mark that frame in 8, you're entering a world of pain.
I'm not.
A world of pain.
Look, dude, this is your partner.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Mark at 0.
You're calling the cops, man. Put the piece away.
Mark at 0.
Walter, put the piece away.
Walter?
You think I'm shit around here? Mark at 0.
All right, it's 0. You happy, you crazy?
Fully game smoke.
Hey, you flash your piece at me on the lane. I snatch it away from you. Smoke. Stick it up your... and pull the trigger until it goes click.
Dan, you ever seen that movie?
My son loves it.
Oh, you've never seen it?
I watched it once with him, but I wasn't drawn
You've never
in.
Seen it?
I have no clue. Oh,
that's amazing that Zoe has not
so
seen
good.
It. You just,
I mean,
like,
I know. I told you. I have
2 seconds. I knew right away.
I'm not a John Goodman fan.
What? What does that have to do with it?
Because I didn't... The Blues Brothers 2. What was that one? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So because of Blues Brothers, you didn't watch The Big Lebowski?
I don't like John Goodman. Like, I didn't like Roseanne with him. I just, I'd be
right.
Not, not a Goodman guy.
It. Yeah, but you still, you know, it was a cult thing.
Big Anything Lebowski. Else, Artie?
When was that? Another item? 20 years ago.
There is one other. I mean, Walter Cronkite signed off for the last time on this
date. Damn. I mean, talk about stuff that happened
on this
day.
I know. I'm telling you, March 6th is just, it was rich.
Did you mention the Bruins trade on this date?
No.
In the year 2000?
In the year 2000.
Bork. Ray Bork.
Oh. To Denver?
Traded to the Colorado Avalanche. That's right.
Boy.
Where he won a cup and they threw him a parade back in Boston.
That Unreal. Was pathetic. We were such losers then.
We threw a freaking parade for another city's win. Well, that is what we did.
That was low days.
Shows how much everybody loves Ray.
Yeah.
Win with another team, we'll still throw you a parade.
That was bad.
Damn. All right. Well, appreciate you.
I'll be in Florida with David Price next week. I'll call you guys from down there.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're going down there to do a piece on Price?
Yeah, I'll check in. I'll give you some news.
Here's another in the 2000s. Yeah. I'm just looking. There's so many items on this day. Today was the day in 2001. The death spiral of Napster began. Napster on this day in 2001 had to comply with a federal court order blocking the transfer of MP3 files across its network.
Sean. What was Sean's last
Sean
name?
Sean Fanning.
Sean Fanning.
Sean Fanning. This day, 2001, was the end.
Is that long ago?
Yeah. This was the death of Napster. March 6, 2001.
I missed the whole phase. Came and went without me.
Remember when the service still existed, but there was like nothing on it? You're like, well, what's the point here? What are we doing? You know?
I downloaded so much music off that.
The good old days. Mm. And you could steal everything, Zoe.
That's the way it should be.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy, our thanks to him. 1 o'clock hour is on the way. You know what? Why don't we do another flashback to the early 2000s?
It's a big one.
Fox did an interview with O.J. Simpson in what year was it? 2006, Jim?
Yes.
All right, so they taped this interview in 2006. And then they never aired it. Didn't air the interview.
Mm-hmm.
That would seem like a mistake, no?
I think you would sort of... Yeah, take advantage of the timing of everything and air it.
And it was the If I Did It interview, right?
Right.
Well, if I had done it.
Right. Well, I can't even believe
it. They're calling it O.J. Simpson, The Last Confession, and they are choosing to soon air it. I want to talk about this. We'll talk about this coming up.
Ratings.